Beloved dear listeners, welcome to Radio Blast, A Voice in the End Time. We are together again with Dora.
Hi, everyone.
And Brother Joseph.
God bless you.
For the live program where we answer your questions. In fact, your questions are really interesting this week. We had a beautiful week, right, Dora?
Yes,
we did. A lot of evangelization this week. Beautiful stories.
Tell us.
Tell us something.
Well, what we've been doing a lot lately is evangelizing groups, both in churches and not only. And what we do, we use a lot the theater as a tool to evangelize. We make like a gospel theater. And we have been invited in both Catholic and Protestant churches, and we do those gospel theater. And the last few weeks, actually, it's been very encouraging because we got some reactions after the theater. People coming to us and saying, your theater was an actual answer to our prayer. I'll give you an example. Inside the gospel theater, we give a message against the TV and against the telenovelas. You know, here in South America, they are a lot into this telenovelas, soap operas, I think you call them in English.
Teleadultery.
Exactly. So we give a message that it just brainwashes you into lying, into adultery, into all kinds of things inside the theater. So at the end of one of the theaters, a lady approached me and she just started hugging me and saying, thank you, thank you. Your theater was an answer to a prayer of mine. And I said, well, what was it about? And she said, well, the last few weeks I've been feeling in my spirit that I should stop watching TV. But I wasn't sure how to go about it. People think I'm strange and, you know, everybody watches TV. But I just felt that it's not good for me and I should give more time to the Lord. So seeing your theater was an answer, like a confirmation from the Lord that I should stop watching TV and dedicate my life and time more to Jesus. And she was just so grateful. She said, I'm going to stop watching TV and I'm going to give my time to Jesus from now on. So that was very inspiring for us.
Amen. And then we also went evangelizing on the streets. We met many young people. Actually, this is a beautiful project we do with the young people of our mission, with Brother Joseph's children, who are all teenagers. And we go on the streets, we stop people, we give them gospel tracts, we evangelize about Jesus, tell them, you don't have to change religion, just change your heart, come to Jesus.
Amen.
He is there, ready to have communion with you. Just close your eyes and talk to him. And we pray with them to receive Jesus. And it was beautiful because somehow, recently, people who received Jesus in their hearts, they actually said they had an experience. They felt something inside, like a heat, or that something came in, or like a joy. And that was so encouraging for us to see people changing in front of your eyes.
Like, amen.
Evangelizing is the most beautiful thing you can do in life. It gives you so much joy.
It's true, it's true. There's nothing better to do in life than to just help people
also
know Jesus.
Also in the hospital we went together, Dora. We went to room in this hospital to evangelize the sick people. And they were crying. And they need so much encouragement and prayer.
I remember there was a lady that said, you guys are just two angels that I needed.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, it's true. And then we evangelized the nurses, the doctors, the director, everybody. In fact, they are preparing a seminar for Brother Joseph to go teach because they like so much the message we have.
For the workers of the hospital.
Yes, for all the 150 workers, I heard. 120?
120, yeah.
The nurses, the doctors.
Yeah. And they invited us as well to go with the doctors from house to house to visit the sick people who are in a terminal cancer condition.
Once a week this is.
Yeah.
The doctors go to visit about five of these families with terminal cancer.
Every Thursday, yeah.
And then we're going to follow with them.
So we can evangelize the families, they said.
So we can go back and do like a deep evangelization on our own.
It was actually their idea. They said, you know, could you come with us because the families of these people who have terminal cancer, actually the families need more encouragement and more spiritual guidance than the actual patient itself. So it was actually their initiative to call us and say, come with us, they need it.
Praise God.
Now I would like to go to the questions because it's something very interesting we want to talk today
about. We don't have much time, so
we want to talk about the Antichrist.
So there are some questions from England, right?
Yes, there is a beloved brother in England.
Dear brother from England.
Who is actually very close to our heart.
Whom we invited here with his wife for a barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not very far, just a few hours by plane. But when you taste this barbecue, you realize it's going to be worth it.
Ah, right. So he is saying about the Antichrist and the place where the Antichrist will come from. He's asking, if you studied the Quran, he said, you may be familiar with the Mahdi of the Islam religion. There are incredible similarities between the Antichrist of the Bible and the Mahdi of Islam. So I would like to ask you, Brother Joseph, is this Mahdi and the Antichrist one and the same person?
I think probably will.
Really?
Yeah, I think
you know, that's something new even for me to hear, Brother Joseph.
Oh, yeah.
Usually we were saying that the Antichrist is a political leader coming from Russia. And now you're saying it's the same that the Islam is propagating.
It doesn't matter. Hitler came from Austria, took over Germany.
Okay.
It's like Napoleon was born in Italy, Corsica, and took over France.
Yeah.
Because, you understand? Like, yes. Obama was born in Kenya, pretending he was born in the Hawaii, and then it turns out was a fake, was actually born in Kenya, and now he's taking over America. It doesn't matter whether somebody's born. They have to see what the devil is doing here. So, yeah, he could be born very easily. For example, I've been keeping my eyes on this Magdi thing for a few years now, and becoming convinced that he's going to be the Antichrist in the sense that he might be born in a Muslim country. For example, I was checking some documents about Kazakhstan. You know, it's like a Muslim country, mostly okay. Muslim. And it was part of the Soviet Empire.
Ah, so kind of like part of Russia in a way.
Yeah, I have a video here. I think we put them on YouTube.
Yeah, it's on the front page of YouTube. Our radio.
Okay, good. And
it's in English and in Italian.
It's about Kazakhstan, Astana, that's the capital. You know, Astana, if you change the letters around, it means Satan in Italian. Exactly. So, if you check this video, you see that this is all occult, it's all they're just building like the perfect city, you know. The city of the future reminds you of flying saucers, it reminds you like the future. And
Why do they do that?
A lot of Masonic symbols. And they're worshiping the sun. The sun is everywhere. You know, when you depict the sun, it becomes like the eye of Lucifer. So the eye of Lucifer is really the sun. Because Lucifer means either brings the light. Okay, so
why do they build it like that in such a way?
It could be because they're preparing the way for the Antichrist. Maybe the Antichrist will be born in Kazakhstan, a Muslim place.
So this is very symbolic, the way this city is built with all these incredible forms like and UFO.
Yeah, it seems perfect for the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. It seems like a perfect nest for the Antichrist. Now, I don't know if he's going to be born there, but definitely it makes a lot of sense. It would be very smart of the devil to make to have the Antichrist to be born in a Muslim country.
Yeah.
Okay, so he would be worshipped as the Mahdi.
Okay.
By the Muslims.
Because this guy, this Mahdi, is the 12th Imam, like the flesh descendants of Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's supposed to bring, according to Quranic and Muslim teaching, they expect him to bring 7 years of peace.
Really?
Yeah.
Just like the Antichrist on the Bible.
Exactly, like Daniel chapter 9 and chapter 11. Daniel 11:21 says he will come through peace. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, through peace, you know, when they say peace and prosperity, sudden destruction. The way I see it is like the devil right now is provoking turmoil all over the world, provoking wars in Syria, Libya, Iran, Afghanistan, what else, Pakistan, North Korea. So he's provoking all these wars, okay, so he can bring his savior to bring the peace. Is the devil provoking wars so he can bring peace?
A false peace.
Yeah, because it says clearly in Daniel 8, I think verse 25, that the devil, the Antichrist, will deceive through peace. And then again, chapter 11, verse 21, they say the devil will come through peace.
Yes.
Today, peace is the password. If you want to deceive the people, it's peace. That's why the American went to make war in Iraq, they're making war in Afghanistan. Every war is fought to bring peace. See the devil deceives people.
So they say in the Islam that this Mahdi will be a powerful political and military leader, like a world leader, but also spiritual, which is kind of the same with the Antichrist of the Bible. Also, they are saying that he will make his establishment on the Temple Mount as the seat of authority, which is exactly the same like the Antichrist again.
It says in Daniel 11, the end of chapter 11, it says he will establish his palace among the seas on the holy mountain, Mount Moriah. The Antichrist will go there, and then he will sit in the temple of God, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4, declaring his God. Okay, but here is an interesting point that convinced me that the Muslims are going to follow him and he's going to be the Mahdi.
So the Antichrist is the Mahdi, according to you?
Well, this interpretation, okay?
Okay.
I'm not going to get dogmatic unless you get a direct revelation. This is just an interpretation.
Yeah.
I think most probably it would be very smart of the devil to have the Antichrist be born in a Muslim area so it could be like followed and worshipped as the Mahdi. Mm-hmm. You see in Ezekiel 38, from 1 until 9, that the Antichrist is followed by Gomer, which is Europe, and by all the Muslim countries. It gives the list. Iran, Turkey, Libya, etc. So I was praying about this, and it came to me that in order for these Muslims to follow him...
These Muslims from Ezekiel 38?
Yeah, all these Muslim countries mm-hmm. will follow the Antichrist, Gog. Mm-hmm. So in order for these guys to follow him, okay, what is he going to do? He's going to sit in the temple of God claiming to be God, 2 Thessalonians 2.
Yeah.
So how are the Muslims going to follow somebody who claims to be God? Well, the only way is that they think he's the Mahdi.
Yes.
There's no other way.
I understand.
How are the Muslims going? Those guys are very much against idolatry. They're not going to follow somebody who claims to be God unless he's the Mahdi mm-hmm. or whom they think is the Mahdi.
But my question is, I believe the Muslims easily will follow, but how come the European countries, because we know from the prophecies that European countries will give their power to the beast, how come the Europeans will follow a Muslim?
Well, here I will go to Daniel chapter 11 from 21 until 45. It talks about the Antichrist. We know it's about the Antichrist for sure by verse 31, because he places the abomination of desolation, which Jesus said in Matthew 24:15, will cause great tribulation. Verse 21, which is before the rapture, verse 29. You follow that?
Yes.
So Jesus places the abomination just before the rapture, which is the tribulation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Daniel 11 clearly shows that this is about the Antichrist. Okay, in Daniel 11, from 21 until 45, we see five wars on the Antichrist. Okay, so condense your question a little bit, please.
How come the European countries will give their power to the Antichrist if he's a Muslim?
Okay, so they will give power because it's prophesied in Daniel 7, Daniel 11, and Revelation 17. How? Number one, in Daniel 7, we see the beast, the fourth beast, which all the Bible scholars agree is Rome. All right? Daniel 7, verse 7, and then 23 until 25.
Okay.
You got it?
Yes.
It says that the fourth beast is the fourth kingdom. Now, all the Bible scholars agree, anybody understands about prophecies, that's Rome.
The Roman Empire.
Yes. And then it says, in the scripture I just gave you, that this beast has 10 horns on the head.
Yeah.
Okay, in the scripture I gave you, right? Remember the scripture I gave you?
Daniel
7, 7, 23 until 25. He said that the 10 horns are 10 kings.
Yeah.
Or 10 nations.
Yes.
We find these 10 kings in Revelation 17.
Yes.
The seven dragons with seven heads, which are the seven world empires. No regional empire, world empire.
Mm-hmm.
From Egypt until Rome, that's six. And then there is a number seven, it's not come yet. It mm-hmm. says in Revelation 17.
Okay. Yes.
But here is the thing. In Revelation 17, 12, until 14, the 10 kings give power to the beast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, these 10 kings are on the head of Rome. So these 10 kings are going to come from the geographical location of Rome. This is a lot of Bible teachers agree on this.
Yes.
Okay, so these 10 kings which will unite and give power to the beast, Revelation 17 to 12, come from Rome, which is Europe. So there are 10 nations from Europe who will give power to the beast, who will take over the world, okay, as we see the same beast, Revelation 17, taking over the world.
The question that this brother in England has, it says the 10 nations, it's clear they give their power to the beast. But how do you know that it's Europe? Because Roman Empire was also North Africa, Middle East, and Turkey. Could those 10 nations be from this part of the world, not from Europe?
Now you have to jump to another prophecy. You have to put a bunch of prophecies together. You see, you have to go here to Ezekiel 38.
Okay.
The Gog is the Antichrist,
mm-hmm.
followed by Magog, which in most Bible maps, etc., that's Russia.
Yes.
Even Bible dictionary. Okay. So here we have Gog, the Antichrist, followed by Russia. And then he gives a list of Muslim countries.
Yes.
He gives Togarma, Turkey, Persia, Iran, Put, Libya, okay, and so on. These are Muslim countries. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And it's followed by the Muslim country, by Russia, Magog, and by Gomer. If you look on the Bible maps, in fact, I put them on the radio this morning.
Yes, on the front page.
Gomer is Europe. It's very well explained. Now, I know that there are maps that show Gomer is in Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but another map show Gomer is around Greece.
So how do you know which map is right?
Just a second. Another map yet show that Gomer is in Europe, Central Europe, Germany.
Okay.
So you have to make a pick. Now the question you should
how
ask.
How do you know which map is right?
How do you know which is right?
They're all right.
They're all right.
Oh, gosh.
No.
Now I'm more confused than before.
Well, that's normal for girls.
Thank you.
I hope you laugh. You don't.
I'm trying.
No, but you must admit it's a good point.
You don't go on a strike in your cooking, so I don't eat for a week.
I thought it's a very good point this brother has that.
No, very good.
Roman Empire was all over.
Very smart idea. Now, these maps are all correct. Why? Because, you see, you have to go to Genesis chapter 10 now. When Noah came down from, the ark came down from the flood, and he landed on Mount Ararat,
yes,
which is northern of Turkey. Between Turkey and Russia, Georgia, over there. So they were all in Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you get a map, which I put on the radio this morning, which this brother, God bless him, sent this map. I put it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows in Turkey, they're all there. They're the Gomer, the Magog, they're all there. Why? Because that's where they came down from the ark.
So that's where the sun spread in the beginning? They
spread in Turkey.
Everybody, Gomer, Magog, were all in Turkey.
In the modern, what today is known as
Turkey. And later they moved?
And then you see, if you search on the internet, you see a bunch of good maps. You see that Gomer moves north, and he goes by the Caspian Sea over there, at Magog, too. And then you get another map, and you see that Gomer has moved with Bulgaria, Romania.
Who is Gomer, for Gomer those who don't
know? Gomer is the son of Japheth.
Okay, who's the son of Noah?
Because Noah had three sons. Shem was the father of Israel and the East. Ham, the father of Egypt and colonized Africa. And Japheth, must have been a blonde one, he colonized Europe.
Okay, so Gomer is the son of Japheth.
So, exactly. So, Japheth had many sons. Gomer, Javan.
This is actually written in the Bible.
Yeah, this is Genesis chapter 10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, I'll go there. If you want to go to Genesis, you'll find.
No, you find it.
Okay. Genesis chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, it gives the list of the Japheth. And so the son of Japheth, one son was Togarma. He remained around the area of the ark, the area of Mount Ararat, and from him we get the name of Togarma, which is modern Turkey. He remained there.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go far. Magog, another son of Japheth, went just north, straight to Caspian Sea, Black Sea, and that became what today is South Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Magog.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the Bible dictionary get the name Magog. Gomer, you see Gomer in Turkey. So maps, correct, because he came down from the ark.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, he was the son of Japheth. He came down from the ark whenever he was born,
yes.
I don't know. And he grew up in Turkey. All the Togarma. And then you see other maps, Gomer moves north, and he goes over together with Magog. They go to the Caspian Sea over there. Mm-hmm. And then you see other maps. Gomer now has moved to Eastern Europe, Romania, Bulgaria, Ukraine, over there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Romania. That's probably the way he went in. And then other maps show the final location of Gomer, Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you talk to historians, like I did, I remember I was in Poland witnessing, and I talked to this lady who teaches history in school, and she was telling me. She said, all the population of Europe, they all came from Germany originally. Because that's the way the Gomer entered in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then...
Europe.
Yeah, and then they went to here and there and there. So when you say Gomer, you say Europe.
Mm-hmm.
See, in Ezekiel 38, he's using the old names. Togarma, it means Turkey. Put, it means Libya. Some translations, okay? And Magog means Russia. Gomer means Germany. Europe.
Mm-hmm.
You got that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, in Ezekiel 38, you say that Gog, Antichrist, will be followed by Magog, Russia,
yes.
And Gomer and all his bands.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's saying Central Europe and the surrounding nations. See, this prophecy, they're parables. He's not going to say Portugal, Spain, Italy, Luxembourg, Belgium, and Holland.
Yes.
They didn't exist those days,
of
right?
Course, yes.
So, the prophet, which was Moses, he wrote Genesis chapter 10, he was talking the language of the days. Moses is not going to write all of Luxembourg, etc.
Of course. It's still, okay, according to the Bible, it's very clearly that Europe will follow the Antichrist. But it's still not clear to me, if you think that the Antichrist will have Muslim background, how can Europeans follow a guy with a Muslim background?
Okay, here
still
we
I don't understand that.
In fact, somebody wondered about, are you seriously thinking that America and Britain are going to declare war to France? Of course, no.
So, yeah. And will they follow Muslim with a Muslim
like,
background?
It doesn't make sense for Europeans who are mainly Christians. There are not so many Muslims.
Well, they are mainly what?
Well, theoretically, or
sorry, I will argue that they're mostly pagan or Muslims.
All right, but they have a Christian culture. How will they follow a Muslim person?
No, the culture, you know, Europe now is just like America, just money, the money culture, the political culture, TV culture. And what's your question about the Muslim for Antichrist?
Why do the Europeans who have a Christian culture follow a Muslim background Antichrist?
Because it will have nothing to do with religion. See, the Antichrist...
What do you mean will have nothing to do with religion?
No, the Antichrist will not take over the world through religion. That's the job of the false prophet in Revelation 13. So. The Antichrist will take over the political world, while the false prophet, Revelation 13, will take over the religious world.
Okay, so because he's a political leader, that's why the Europeans can follow him.
Yeah,
not for religious reasons.
No, today Europe is making wars under the umbrella of NATO with America and Afghanistan, in Iraq, they were. And NATO is not there because they are Christian. They are there because they are Antichrist.
So basically the Muslim world will follow the Antichrist, which you think would be the Mahdi because of religious reasons.
Because they think it's the Mahdi.
So the Muslims will follow the Antichrist because of religious reasons?
Because they think it's the Mahdi.
Yeah,
don't forget.
And the Europeans will follow him because of political
reasons.
Okay, now it's clear.
Now, you see, now even today we have a block. All the Muslims are united. I mean, they're not united, but let's assume they're united. At least they're united religiously.
Yeah, it's true.
And they are allied politically, a little bit with Europe, a little much with Russia and China. You know, politically in the UN, it's always Russia and China that veto anything, you know, against the Muslim and stuff like that. You know, they're defending the Muslim, the Russia and China, because they have a lot in common. And now Europe is leaning in the same direction. So America wants to blast all the time the Muslims. And Europe is slowing down. You understand?
Yes.
Now, Europe is already on the side of the Muslim relatively. And is moving more and more and more. In fact, if you follow the news, you can see how America and Europe are boycotting Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And especially Europe. Europe has begun to boycott Israel. And Obama America is following along to fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah 12 and 14, where all the nations, God says, I will gather all the nations around Israel, bring them in the Valley of Decision, Armageddon, and then I will destroy them. So Israel is the bait to attract all the devil's army, devil's people, the Antichrist and Armageddon, so God can destroy them, Revelation 19:11.
The next question. Is there any possibility that the Antichrist will come from Turkey?
Yeah, why not?
It is?
Yeah, actually.
But it says Gog from Magog.
No, wait. He can be a Muslim born in Turkey or Kazakhstan or Egypt or wherever. Okay, but then he can be naturalized in Russia or, I don't know, he can be naturalized in Russia. It can be like, he can have
both.
What do
you mean naturalized?
Well, like Hitler was born in Austria, but he was naturalized in Germany.
Yeah,
he took over Germany.
I understand.
I told you the example of Napoleon was born in Italy, Corsica, and he became naturalized French, took over France completely. He was not even French.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Antichrist can be, I would be very smart for the devil to have the Antichrist be born in a Muslim country so he gets all the Mahdi followers.
Approval of Muslims.
Number one.
Yeah.
And then having grew up in a Russian area.
Mm-hmm.
So the Russians, he's Russian. But his religion, quotes and quotes, is Muslim. In reality, is only Satanist, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he gets a Muslim over here. Magog over there, it remains only Europe. And okay, people say, you think America and England are going to declare war to France? No, they're not going to declare war to France. But Europe, they will always follow their religion, which is money, which is power. What's so difficult for America and England to declare war to Germany, for example? They already did. in World War II, it was Britain and America against Germany. And historically, Britain has always fought war against France. So I tell you, people will follow, at the end of the story, they will follow whatever their selfish interests are.
This is because you've been mentioning in another recording where we explained the situation of Russia, Crimea, and Ukraine. You've been mentioning the prophecies of Daniel 11, the words of the Antichrist, where Europe will side with America in the beginning, but then in the middle of the Antichrist's career during the wars, Europe will change position and side with Antichrist against America.
Yeah, remember.
And that's why this brother is asking, how is it possible that USA and Britain are going to declare war on France and Germany?
No, it's not going to be declared war. They will move, just like Italy started the war on the side of Germany, Romania too, for example, another country. And in the middle of the war, they shifted. Italy in 1943 shifted the side of the Americans.
Yeah.
Okay. Another country did too. I remember when I studied history, Russia invaded Romania, Romania passed inside of Russia. Now the wind changed, and now Romania is in the side of America. Romania is there begging Americans to bring military bases, which they did. And now in eastern Romania, I can remember when I was there, in Constanza, is full of American bases, missiles. So people change according to their interest. And keep in mind that Romania, they're all socialists, ex-communists, and they're opening the door to America.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, don't be surprised that people change, nations will change according to their selfish interest.
Yes.
So the Bible says that Daniel 7, 10 nations from Rome will, Revelation 17, give power to the beast. Revelation 13, peace will take over the world. Gog will lead Magog. Gog, Antichrist, will lead Magog, Russia, followed by the Muslim bloc, And Gomer and his bands. Gomer, you can check in every map you want, that's Europe. There's no way. Although if Gomer didn't colonize Europe, who did? It's Gomer. He's the son of Japheth in every map. You can see that. And then they say that the Gomer and Togarma is the same thing.
Magog is Turkey.
Exactly.
That Magog is Turkey, yeah.
Yeah, Magog cannot be Turkey for the simple reason that in Ezekiel 38, they are pointed out in separate ways. The Gog is followed by A, Magog, B, Togarma.
Turkey. It's true. It wouldn't mention it two times.
Of course.
That I didn't think.
If Magog and Turkey Togarma is the same, then it wouldn't mention like that. Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't make a separation.
Yeah. See, but it's like if the Antichrist has to take over the world, of course Europe has to follow the Antichrist. But it's very clear. In Daniel 7, the 10 will come up from Rome, another will come up, another horn will come up, and he will destroy three. So there are three wars coming to Europe, because in Daniel 7 it says he will destroy three horns, three nations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in fact, if you read at the end of Daniel 11, it says bad news from the east and from the north troubled him, and he went with much fury to destroy many. Mm-hmm. I believe that's going to be the atomic war in the east, between China and India, the only place where 2 billion, that's with a B, and a half people will die, according to another prophecies, Revelation 9:18.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes east and north. North, that's what I believe, that's when it will destroy three nations. In other words, he will have some rebellions.
Mm-hmm.
Some nation will rebel against him and maybe try to join America or whatever they're trying to do. Okay, because Daniel 11 shows the king of the north, the king of the south. Okay, we know it talks about the Antichrist by verse 31, the abomination of desolation. Then it's divided, the king of the north, king of the south.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that the king of the north is Magog, Antichrist, Gog, that's the north. So who's south of that? Jerusalem.
Because
that's
Israel.
That's what he conquers. In Ezekiel 38, from 1 until 9, he conquers Israel, he says. Okay? So then he's fighting against Israel. Mm-hmm. All right, he wouldn't conquer an allied. So then how can Israel stand against him? There are 5 wars he fights in Daniel 11. How can Israel? He cannot. But who's siding for Israel all the time?
America.
America. So, okay, but only America, it's West.
Yes.
But doesn't fight in the West. In this case, it's the king of the South, because America fights
with
in
Israel.
The south, with Israel.
Yes.
That's why it says in Daniel 11, 29, 30, it says, the ships of Kittim shall come against him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are the ships of Kitchen? Ships of Kitchen, Kitchen in the maps is Cyprus.
Cyprus?
Can Cyprus, yes.
Cyprus is very small.
You know, you can see also in our radio, there is a map.
Yeah.
There is a map. It says on the island of Cyprus, it says
it's
Kitchen.
Map number two.
Yeah, but anyway, many Bibles, for example, the Old King James, it says Kitchen. Mm-hmm. In the New King James, it says Cyprus, because it's the same island, understand? So how can Kittim Cyprus stand against the Antichrist?
Can't. it's a tiny place.
The island, besides, it doesn't even hardly has any army there. It belongs to Greece, but doesn't have anything.
So,
Cyprus has been traditionally the base of the British Navy.
Really?
Yeah, that's how the British control the Mediterranean, through Cyprus.
Then it makes sense.
So the ships of Cyprus, in other words, the England, made strong, empowered by another allied, the King of the South, America, mm-hmm. those two fleet together, because the British have one of the biggest tradition, one of the biggest fleet in the world, not so much by ships now, but more like a submarine. They have this atomic submarine armed with Trident missiles. So they have a very powerful navy, the British still do. So together with America, those guys can fight the whole world at sea. Mm-hmm. But that's why at sea, the Antichrist is the only war that loses. Mm-hmm. In the five wars, the Daniel 11 is the only one that loses against Britain and America.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the ships of Kitchen, mostly.
That's interesting.
So that's why Britain, I believe, I don't want to be dogmatic, this interpretation, I believe Britain will side with America. It's already siding with America.
Every war.
Yeah, they speak the same language in every war. It's always Britain and America, and the others kind of follow, flip-flopping.
It's true.
Understand? So, it's going to be divided. King of the South, Israel, and America, possibly Britain. King of the North, Antichrist, Gog, followed by Magog, Gomer, Germany. Gomer with his bands, Europe, you know, mm-hmm, the 10. Mm-hmm. And then the Muslim countries. And I believe, I would say also China, and those kind of, etc.
So, to clarify, what is the Antichrist coming from? There are strong possibilities, we said, that he could be the Mahdi of the Islam world.
I think probably will be.
But then, geographically, what is he coming from? Because we mentioned that he is from Russia, for a long time. Then we mentioned he could come from Georgia.
Okay,
we said Kazakhstan today. We said Turkey.
Why don't you go to Daniel 8?
All right.
Read verse 9. I'll give you exactly what it says in the Bible.
Daniel 8, verse 9.
Go ahead.
Dora, you want to read it?
Yes. And out of one of them came a little horn which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. Oops. What does it mean, out of them?
Okay, out of them, if you read the whole chapter,
yes.
It talks about the empire of Alexander the Great.
Okay.
It talks about the empire of Greece.
All right.
When Alexander died, it was divided to the four winds. The great Greece was divided in four parts, respectively. Let's go and take a look. First was Egypt, and then Syria, then Turkey, and then Greece. Greece means Europe, okay? Because those days, Greece controlled everything that was known, interesting in Europe.
Yeah, it was.
It was before Rome, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah.
There was no match in Europe.
I found it in verse 8, right there. It says, Daniel 8:8, it says that out of the male goat came this little horn, but in verse 21, it says the male goat is Greece.
Yeah,
spells it out, Greece.
Exactly, yeah, thank you. Yeah, in Daniel chapter 8, it talks about the kingdom of the goat, which destroyed the kingdom of the ram, the two horns, that's in Medo-Persia.
Okay. So you're saying Greece was divided into four, and yeah. Anti-clockwise is?
Yeah, it's in Daniel 8, it talks about Media and Persia. The ram is Media and Persia, spells it out. So your question?
So you said the kingdom of Greece was divided in four.
Yeah, because when Alexander died, the four generals, they didn't want to fight each other, because Alexander said that he was going to leave his kingdom to the strongest. So basically, they didn't want to fight each other, so they divided the kingdom.
Okay.
The prophecy says, divided to the four winds. And it was, I gave you the name, the list of the countries. Mm-hmm. Okay?
It was? Again?
It was, you want clockwise? Clockwise is Greece, Turkey, Syria, and Egypt.
So out of this came a little horn, it says.
Out of this came a little horn which waxed exceeding great toward the south, the east, and the pleasant land.
Yes, and what does this
mean? And then if you read the rest of the chapter, it talks about, that's the Antichrist, okay?
So this little horn is the Antichrist?
It's the Antichrist. You read the rest of the chapter, it's very clear.
Okay.
So it comes from Greece.
According to Daniel 8?
Yeah.
How can that be?
It gives you the location. Well, it's very simple.
Now I'm confused totally. Where does the Antichrist come from?
No, it's very simple. Look. It's very simple. Look, can you go to the map on the radio where I show you? It's very simple.
Here, it's open. You can look.
Okay, open the map on our radio site, brethren, on the first page.
See where it says the trace?
Yes.
Trace? That's
on map number 2, we're looking.
It says Javan underneath, you see? Okay. Javan is the son of Japheth, and that's Greece, okay?
Okay.
And you can see by the map, okay? Now, let's imagine, start from the anti-clock, start from Egypt.
The four winds of the Greek Empire,
yeah? Yeah, that it will grow exceeding great towards south, east, and pleasant land. Mm-hmm. Pleasant land is Israel, you got that?
Okay.
So let's say if he came from Egypt.
Okay.
Now, he can grow great south, yes, that's possible. East, yes.
Okay.
But there is something wrong here. Because he's the king of the north, he should say north.
You mean the Antichrist is the king of the north?
If he came from Egypt, we would have said they became stronger toward the south, the east, and the north.
Okay.
Because we know that the Antichrist is the world.
Of course, yeah.
Yes.
And he comes with the ten horns of the Roman Empire. So it cannot be Egypt.
No, because it says east otherwise, and the pleasant land, that would be a repetition. Because the pleasant land is in east.
Yeah, if you go Egypt, you wouldn't have said the east and pleasant land. You would have said east.
Right.
Or pleasant land. It's the same direction.
One or the other.
You see? He would have said the south, east, and north.
Exactly.
Toward Europe. Because
so
he comes from Magog. He leads Magog, correct?
Yes.
So can we cross off Egypt?
We eliminated Egypt.
Go to Syria.
Okay.
The same story. He would have said south, possibly west, toward Egypt, mm-hmm. east, and north. Because he comes from the north, but it doesn't say that, so it cannot be Syria. Let's continue. Turkey.
So it needs to include north.
Well, it must include north because it comes from Magog.
Okay, yeah.
Gog of Magog.
Okay.
That is Europe, Russia, okay? But it doesn't talk about north anywhere, so it cannot come from here.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey.
So no Egypt, no Syria.
Yeah, Turkey, the same story. So if he would come from Turkey, then look, he would say south, yes. He would say...
East,
yes.
Correct.
And he could say the pleasant land, yes. But there is something missing. He should say also
north.
He should also say north because it comes from the north.
Okay.
So these three divisions of the Alexander Empire, you can just cross them off.
It cannot come from there.
Now let's imagine it comes from Greece now. Mm-hmm. Are you with me?
From Greece.
Okay. let's say it comes from Greece.
Okay.
Or Europe. Because Greece and Europe was the same.
In those days, like you said, before
the Roman Empire.
Yeah, just like north of Caspian Sea, that's where Magog was, a little area. But now it means the whole Russia.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
because that was the whole known world. In the days of Alexander the Great, the whole known Europe, it was Greece, Sicily, southern Italy, a little Spanish. That's it.
Okay.
Now let's see Greece. So, he shall grow exceeding great toward the south, correct,
yes.
Let's call Africa, toward the east, you see? If you go east, you go just about Turkey and all the way to China. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And pleasant land. Then it would be from here. You see
from
here?
Greece.
Israel is exactly where it says Canaan, you see?
Yeah.
So then it would require also the third specification. It fits. So then in this case, it fits because if it comes from Greece and or Europe, which is the same, he would have to say exactly what he says. He becomes strong toward the south, Africa,
mm-hmm.
okay, which is the Mediterranean area of the Roman Empire. So he becomes strong toward the south, toward the east, and he goes through more or less Turkey, and then all the way to Afghanistan, India, and China. Correct?
Yes.
Yes.
But then he says toward the pleasant land, toward Israel, in other words. That direction is required because Israel is here and it's not exactly east, but it's between south and east.
Southeast, yeah.
So it requires, correctly so, the direction specified, the pleasant land.
But
it doesn't say north because...
It's already north.
It's already north.
Right.
We're talking about Greece, Europe, Magog here, because Greece, Europe, Magog is the same thing. Because Greece controlled Europe and Magog. At least the known area. Greece was controlling the Black Sea. Greece was controlling the north of the Black Sea, which is today Crimea, that area. Greece was controlling that, whatever little they had. Yes.
So you're saying that it comes from Greece, more or less, is because Greece was basically the known world back then, which is Europe today.
Greece controlled the whole Europe, the whole Magog Russia that was known, which was very little.
Okay.
It would be like today controlling the North Pole with a few Eskimos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes. Russia controls the Eskimos of the North, but it's like, I don't know how many there are there. It was the same story.
The Antichrist is coming from Europe, or from Turkey, or from Georgia, or from Kazakhstan,
okay.
Or from Russia.
Yeah, because I said before, it could be born in Egypt, it could be born in Kazakhstan, could Georgia, yes. Okay, and back again to the point. Hitler was born in Austria, but he took over Germany. So the Antichrist could be born in some Muslim country. So the Muslim would say, oh, he was born
He's
a Muslim.
Man.
Yeah, I know he went to wherever he went, Russia, wherever he grew up. We don't know. Let's say, for example, he grows up in Europe or Russia. Politically, he will be appointed to lead a coalition. Because we're talking about coalition here. We're talking about coalition of Gomer and his bands and Russia. They get together, make a coalition, and they can appoint a leader, it doesn't have to be necessarily from Russia. It's enough that it's from the coalition.
Representing
from the
Russia.
Coalition that includes all these nations following the Antichrist, Europe and Russia. So he could be born in Spain, in Italy, mm-hmm. in Germany. Mm-hmm. Could be born...
But it has to do something with the Muslims and with Russia.
Do you understand?
Yes.
So, you see, the devil has no difficulty to make his little demons be born wherever he wants.
You know, it comes to me like he will be all things to all men, in other words.
Yeah.
To be able to deceive everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
See, Italy was born in Austria, and then they took over Germany, and then he went to the Austrian and said, hey, you're going to join us. They took a vote. And the vote in Austria, if I remember, was 98% or 99% in favor of Hitler.
Mm-hmm. He was Austrian.
He was Austrian, understand?
Yes.
He had a lot in common. They spoke the same language. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to wait and see. I don't want to be dogmatic and say, he's going to come from Turkey, from Kazakhstan. We don't know. So these are all possibilities. So you'll have to take with a grain of salt. We'll have to wait and see. I don't like to be an infallible prophet dogmatically. That's because God showed me. Do you know who I am?
Yeah.
No, but it's good to have some ideas how to orientate ourselves. And for sure, it doesn't matter where he comes from. Just prepare and be ready when he comes.
Yeah, wherever he comes from. I know exactly where he's coming from.
No, where?
finished telling us that he's from everywhere and nowhere.
I know exactly. I can tell you exactly where he comes from.
Okay.
I'm curious.
Okay, look.
Silence, everybody.
Okay. You want a scripture?
Please.
Revelation 11:7.
Revelation.
I'm going to quote, contradict myself.
11:7, got it.
I'm going to give you the coordinates exactly where it comes from. Read the Revelation 11:7. It talks about the Antichrist making war against the witnesses and killing them.
Don't get in trouble, Brother Joseph.
No.
Hey, the scripture, Angela.
I'm always in trouble. I'm used to that. I'm a guy that either people love me or hate me. There's no in between here. Here's a stumbling stone here.
All right. Revelation 11:7.
Yes. That gives you the coordinates where it comes from.
When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them.
Bottomless pit is a Greek word, abusos, which means bottomless pit, a pit without bottom, which we believe, together with other Bible scholars, that is the center of the earth, because it revolves, and every 12 hours the bottom becomes the roof, so bottomless pit. Revelation 20, verse 1 until 3, that's where the devil is going to be imprisoned.
Mm-hmm.
Understand? And that's where Apollyon means the destroyer. Revelation chapter 9, he is the leader of the demons coming from the abusos, bottomless pit again. So where does he come from? Exactly from hell.
All right. I think everybody will agree with this.
So the Antichrist comes from hell.
You are safe.
You know, there is. I think I was reading some article about the Mahdi. And I think it was a video from, I think it was 700 Club. And they went interviewed in Iran? They said they went to, there was a hole in the ground, and it was covered and everything, a holy well, and they believe that the Mahdi is going to come from the well. And I think that could be straight from the bottomless pit.
Wow, actually from a well?
So anyway, all these things, a little grain of salt, don't come to me and say, Brother Joseph, The Antichrist came from Syria. You didn't say, I don't know where he's going to come from.
Well, it comes from hell, that's clear.
Yes.
I'm giving you possibilities. I don't like these infallible prophets like the guy was in camping. He said
the rapture will be the 21st of May.
What year, 1911?
2011, yeah.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, and then he said, I studied the Bible 50 years. People they were asking me, how do you know for sure? I said, well, I think I would say, well, I studied the Bible 50 years, and you know what? The Bible cannot be wrong. No,
that's
the thing
it?
Is that Mr. Camping, it's not the Bible I'm worried about, it's somebody else.
Yeah.
Anyway, the guy died, peace to his soul. I think he knows better now, poor guy.
Amen.
He was crying. All these people crying, wolf, wolf, and then when the wolf really came, the bad wolf, the Antichrist, and then some people are going to believe it.
So basically, a resume, Angela.
That's it? Can I go take a rest?
Yes,
now?
Just a resume. So basically, the Antichrist will be a political leader that Europe will follow politically.
Yeah, and then the false prophet will unite the world religiously, which is going to be a Christian leader, big shot. And he will unite the world politically. They work together, Revelation 13.
Yes. And then you think he could have Muslim background because otherwise all the nations from...
No, he will have. Ezekiel 38, he will have for sure.
Exactly. All those Muslim nations stated there cannot follow him unless he has something to do with Islam.
And that's probably going to be the clique. They're going to identify the Mahdi.
Yeah, it's pretty
all
clear.
Right. And then where he comes from geographically, we need to wait and see. But we know that spiritually he comes from hell. And then geographically he will kind of lead all Europe and the Muslim countries that are in Ezekiel 38.
Mm-hmm. And China.
These things we can tell for sure.
I think probably China and a bunch of... the world. The only country that will not submit to in America and probably Britain, they'll be destroyed, you know.
Wow.
You know, and Europe, Italy, and the other will be there shining his shoes, taking the mark of the beast.
Well, brethren, prepare for these days that are coming. And if you're in Europe, in England especially, or in also the parts of also Germany,
ask
other places, or in America, really, really ask the Lord what's His will for you and what are you supposed to do.
Just remember now, in the beginning of the 20th century, 1900 something, it was when General Allenby, a British, he conquered Jerusalem from the Ottoman Empire. So when he attacked, when he surrounded Jerusalem, all the Muslims inside Jerusalem, okay, they all got scared and they just ran away. And they abandoned, and he conquered Jerusalem without shooting one shot. And you know why?
No.
Because his name, Allenby, means sent by Allah. Allenby is a British name, but in Muslim, it means sent by Allah or a servant of Allah, something like that. And they had some prophecies to do that a servant of Allah would conquer Jerusalem. So when this British general arrived with his army to take over Jerusalem, when they heard his name, they all surrendered. And that's how, without firing a shot, Allenby, a wonderful general, I think he was a good guy, to go to Jerusalem. I mean,
amazing.
The British, I mean, there is an army which I admire. I mean, I don't like any army, but I admire the British. I admire very much the British because as long as they were Christians, they were so beautiful. They allowed the missionary to travel on the army ships all over the world. And that's why the sun never set on the British flag. And God bless in the Victorian days or the Victorian years or the 19th century. God really blessed Britain very much. But now, because they forsook God, and now they're turning to the devil just like the rest of the world, they are losing all the power. Like it says in the Proverbs, righteousness exalts nations. And as long as they were Christians, they were exalted. But now they're just following every wind of doctrines, homosexuality, and they're just like the rest of Europe and the world. And that's why the sun now is going, it's going down, setting on the British flag. It's a real pity. Because for me, they were the number one of they were the excellent soldiers of the world, gentlemen and everything. They were some weirdos, just like everyone else, but nothing to do like with the Nazi system and stuff. But they were so godly.
Amen.
And I really pray for these British brethren to really, really get out of those sleepy churches and go evangelizing.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Anything Amen. Else? Well, this sweet brother who wrote to us from England with all these questions, he's actually evangelizing. He's very active and he's printing tracts to distribute in his area. That was very encouraging for us to hear that other brethren are trying to evangelize and doing their best for Jesus.
See,
it's very encouraging.
You see, the bride of Christ sticks out.
Amen.
My sheep hear my voice.
Amen.
Jesus. And they'll find a way.
Amen.
They go,
Amen.
They go with you, without you, around you,
yes,
all over you, but they
Amen.
Will go.
Amen.
No, nothing but death
Lord,
will
help
stop
us.
Them. Because
Good.
That's the bread of Christ.
Amen.
My sheep and my voice. A diamond is a diamond and is a diamond. It doesn't matter how much you can cover a diamond with all kinds of church, religious garbage or mud.
It's true.
A diamond remains a diamond. You understand?
Thank
you.
Just
have to wash it up a little bit with some water of the world.
Amen.
And that's the bread of Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
They
Amen.
The family follows them, great. The family doesn't follow them, they go without.
Wow.
Amen. Jesus
Amen.
Said,
Praise God.
Well. Jesus said, Matthew 12, with my mother, my brother, they that do God's will.
Amen. Well, any more questions, Dora?
No.
Anything else?
I think
I'm sure the listeners will have questions, and they are welcome to write in.
Yeah, encourage them to make some churches in the house. Please.
That's good.
Because like when we broadcast this thing, they're specially dedicated to the churches in the house. Brethren who tired of sitting in church benches doing nothing, get together.
Yeah, in invite room, all your friends.
Make a nice cake. Invite them for
yes.
a cake. And then let's say, by the way, cake, there is a crazy guy there from South America preaching. Like,
and, there is a spicy radio.
And then invite them for a cake, but also pen and paper and Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody needs salvation, send us an email on the spot and live, we can pray with them to receive Jesus.
Amen.
Or if they need healing, we can pray live for healing.
Amen.
If they need to be delivered from some demons, we can pray live for that. We have the power of Jesus Christ.
That's good.
Amen.
Luke 10:19, which
Thank
says,
you, Lord.
I give you
power to step over scorpions and serpents
and
over
all
the power of
the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
So go around, pass the word, invite them. Like it says in the parable, invite. There is room in my house, says the
Amen.
Lord. Invite them.
Thank
invite
you, Lord.
Invite the lame, the blind, the deaf. Invite.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because those who are invited, they don't want to come. The church benches are too comfortable. So invite the ones in the street. Amen?
Amen.
And then we get together. We from here, you from there, and send your question in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I love
God
you.
Bless you, Brother Joseph. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Thank you. And we're going to finish with a beautiful song, actually a prophetic song, which talks mm-hmm. about the end time. We hear you again tomorrow, like every Saturday and Sunday at 9:00 in the morning, Central American time.
Lots of hugs, brethren.